Shall we have just a brief word of prayer, please? Father, we rejoice this morning because it's your precious word that matters so much to each one of us. And so this morning, Lord, we pray that both speaker and hearer might be blessed of yourself. We realize it. We are nothing, but you're everything to each one of us. So, Lord, cause your precious word only to come from these lips of ours this morning, that we all may be blessed. And your beloved Son glorified. Amen. This we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 I was very impressed last week by our brother Martin, last week, the Sunday evening. And the Holy Spirit almost compelled me to carry on with what he said. I'm not going to say all he said, but the thoughts that he had, I want to go a little bit farther than that. So, as the Lord leads, we shall. So, I want to turn to John 13, first of all. John 13, verse 1, 1 to 5. Yes, 1 to 5. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil now having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After he had poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them, with the towel wherewith he was girded. Verse 12. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Verse 33. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, Whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. This is no new thing, is it? I'm not speaking new things, because it's what we've known for so long. The Lord was going to do something new, and it's happened to each one of us here this morning. And the joy of it is that it's not new, because in the 25th chapter of Exodus we have a similar example. Our brother mentioned last week that it was love. That there's so many things happening today that are done without love. But he was speaking more or less that this new commandment that Jesus gave to them was the beginning of new things. You see, it wasn't just words alone. It was to be a heart message, if I can put it that way. It was connected to the heart of God, and that's what matters most of, I think, this today. If we're going to love one another as God loved us, it's got to begin there. The heart of God is so precious and wonderful. And when we consider that it was Jesus knew that his hour was come, you can understand how much he loved his disciples, because that love was far above the things that they'd got to go through. The love of God. And when we even begin to understand what that really means, the love of God to mankind, even at such an hour as that, when he knew his hour was come, and he knew what was going to happen to him, he knew, but he also knew what was in the heart of men. And he wanted you to make that matter and put that matter right for a beginning. And beloved brother and sister, this morning, it's something we haven't learned yet properly. I believe it's something that God wants to really write upon the walls of our heart, in a sense, that we may really understand what God really means to really love one another. On Wednesday next, it'll be 58 years since I come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. To me, that was a wonderful day. I've never known a day like it since. God is so wonderful to me, and not only I know He is to you all, but that's the wonder. But His promise to remain the same. In fact, the Word of God says they have not failed one thing of all that He said. One thing. How wonderful God is. How true He is, and how precious His Word is. It can be relied upon. I was talking to Brother Dick yesterday about something I had in mind, and he said, "Well, it's not that at all. It's the Word of God that matters. The Word of God that really matters in each one of our hearts this morning." And he says, "Love one another as I have loved you." How did he love them? He loved them unto death, the Word says. And this morning, on this occasion, he reminded them that as he had done to them, he'd washed their feet, he'd taken the servant's place. And it was their privilege, a responsibility to do just the same thing. And brothers and sisters, it's ours too. There's no job that's too difficult. Our brother Jeff was reminding us last week, we all got something to do, even if it's only to stand and be counted in open air meetings. And brothers, there's no job too small for us in these days to really put the Lord Jesus in His proper place. We've got to be counted for Him. But you know, the Lord wants us to realise that it's no new thing. In this chapter 25, it says, God said to them, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart." It's connected with the heart. The willingness of the love of God to each one of our hearts this morning. And that's what God wants. But He wanted something more than that. And in verse 8, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." That's wonderful, isn't it? God wants to dwell among us, and what's more, He has. That's the most wonderful part of it. But it goes back thousands of years, this, when God's laws were first made. But it's just the same today, because each one of us have come to know this new commandment that He's given to us, and it's happened in our hearts. The Lord God Himself has come to dwell within each one of us who have made that. Who have confessed our sin and accepted the blood of Jesus as the answer to our problem. And He's put it right. And not only that, He's come to dwell within too. How wonderful God is. And I know I can simply, that's the only way I can speak really. I've got to simply put things simply as they really are. Praise God. And that's all I want. And you know, each one of us has this morning the Holy Spirit within us, who've really trusted the Lord Jesus as Saviour. But we're not always carrying out the command that He gave us, loving one another as I love you, He says. In many churches today, we hear the words are right, the instructions are there, very, very good. The Word of God says so, and we hear them. But, beloved, it's a heart matter. It's nothing to do with just words of our mouth. The Lord said what goes into the mouth has nothing to do with what comes out of it. It's what comes out that matters. And beloved, if our hearts are right with God, it really matters what's happening there. Because when God's behind our thoughts and our words and our deeds, that's when things work out right. I say this occasionally, you know, each one of us have an account with God. An account with God. And to make that account right, all these matters that happen, what we do correctly, as the Holy Spirit leads and guides our thoughts and our words and our deeds, it's all to our account. You know, when they were given the talents, some said, the one with the fire said, I've traded the talents you gave me, and I've made another fire. You know, each one of us has got to do something with it. We've all got talents. We can't say, well, the Lord, I don't know what the Lord wants me to do, but the Lord does want you to do something. And you know, if we can't do anything else, we can pray, can't we? And believe me, in a sense, it's the simplest thing to do. We've got to talk to God. But the point is, we have an enemy that prevents us doing so. But it's one of the easiest ways of using some of the talents that we have. God has given every one of us something to do in that way. And he wants us not only to hear what we've got to do, but to, as we've already read in the Gospel of John, if you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. It's the doing, brothers and sisters, that matters really most. And God is just waiting to use you and I in a way that we've never known before. You know, I'm sure each one of us, every day, can point to something that the Lord has done for us in some way or other. There's so much. And as our brother mentioned last week, he pointed to a verse in Corinthians 13. I was going to refer to it a lot more than that, but we won't have time. Love never fails. That's the wonderful thing. What God's put into our hearts and minds, and what he can do for us when we act upon it, it never fails. God said it never fails. And I found that experience to be gloriously true. I, like you, like everybody else, have problems. But I have found that when I put them in the hands of the Lord, they never fail. They never fail. God never fails. Although we fail him at times, we do the wrong things, we say the wrong things, and the problem isn't settled as we think it ought to be. At times I find myself telling God that it isn't right. But you know, that's not true. I have to go back and ask the Lord's forgiveness for those things. But you know, the Lord is so gracious and so wonderful in all that we say and do, that he's ready to forgive and ready to say, well, now let's see how you get on with this time, you know. And that commandment still remains there: as I have loved you, so do ye. And God wants us to carry that out. And so it is that God wants willing hearts, and so he does. There's many things that want doing today, beloved, in our churches, in our homes, with our brothers and sisters. If we willingly do, we give around the table. We give our gifts to the Lord. When we do them willingly, in fact, the word does say that the Lord loveth a cheerful giver, and I'm sure he does, and he uses it, as Dennis was reminding us earlier in the year, when that £120 were sent to Russia. You see, God not only hears, but he acts upon these things, and he causes us to put our hands in our pockets. And know that whatever else we're short of, it doesn't matter. You see, our life as a Christian is giving, nothing else. The Lord will supply the needs, whatever they may be. And so he carries on. What a wonderful God we have this morning. And he's given us this joy this morning of being able to rely upon what his word says. The meeting around the table is so precious to me, because it's near to the heart of God. And I think that's wonderful. You see, and also, not only does God give us the jobs to do, but he has a pattern to do them. This is not new as a day. In the Old Testament, we see God's word. Moses was, as you know, was told to build things or say things, and it's got to be done in a particular pattern. And that pattern still happens today. God does things in a peculiar way sometimes. I remember... You'll excuse me if you've heard this before, but I remember the brother through whom I was saved. He wrote a book, and in one of his pages, that he was going, in the days before cars was around too much, he had a cycle, and he cycled along these country lanes, and the Lord said to him, I want you to preach in that barn there. But he said, Lord, what good would it do to preach in an empty barn? But nevertheless, being a brother who believed what God said, he did so. He preached in what he thought was an empty barn. And you know, some years later, as he was going by train down south, I'm not quite sure exactly whether it's been such a long time ago, a person looking up the other side of the carriage said to him, excuse me, sir. He said, you don't know me, but I have reason to know you. He said, many years ago, he said, you came and you opened your Bible and you talked about a God. He said, since that time, I've come to know him, and he's my Saviour. And what a joy it is to know that. However, whatever God says, he has a meaning to he has a pattern to do it. This was probably the only way this man would have ever heard the gospel. But God used it to the glory of his great name. And beloved, however silly it might seem to you or me, it's God's pattern to each one of us, brother and sister alike, that God uses these patterns for his glory. You know, I don't know whether it was the Salvation Army or the London City Mission. Some years ago in London, when the Salvation Army were just beginning, one of the workers, I'm not sure whether it was one or the other, but they took a friend with them. They were going to a certain address in London. And when they got to, he looked at this place, and it was a broken down old place. And he said, "What's this in aid of?" He said, "Well, come and see." And they pushed open the door, which had nothing there to keep it locked or anything else. But they opened the door, and in the corner of the room where they were just for a floorboard was an old iron bed. And on it was a lady there, covered with rags. They saw that she had treatment for what she had wrong with her. And this particular brother or sister, I'm not quite sure, came the next week to see how she was getting on. And when they got to the house, he found quite a transformation had happened. The front doorstep was clean and white. The knocker on this door was cleaned and bright. And as he walked in, the room was clean, and in it there was a little bit of furniture, as well as the lady herself was sitting up. And he said to her, "What's happened since I last came?" And she said, "Jesus has been here. Jesus has been here." And you know, beloved, that's what happens. Where there's a need, the Lord directs his beloved people everywhere to do simple things just like that. It doesn't matter if it's in cleaning the knocker, it's because we've been with Jesus. Because we've understood what he said. If ye love one another, as I have loved you. And it still goes on, brothers and sisters. A long time ago, as you all know, Graham was speaking on it one Sunday evening about Naaman the leper. Just one little detail I want to take from that. There was a little maid there. You know, Naaman was a mighty man of valor, so the word says. But he was a leper. And there was a little maid there. Don't say much about her. She was a slave and she was a captive of the Israelites. But she had something. You know, she was a captive, but she was something else. She was a witness. A witness to what God had done. I don't know, she must have had a love for God and probably her master and mistress was kind to her, probably, I don't know. But the word does not say anything about that. But it does say that she spoke to her mistress and said, "If my Lord were in Samaria, the prophet would heal my master of his leprosy." You know, I don't know what you think about that story, but I believe God had planned all this. He was, because the word says, I believe it's the first verse says, by Naaman, the Lord had given victory to him on occasions. So the God had him in mind. And also the word says he was the only man that was the healed of leprosy. The word goes on to say, but in another part of the scripture, I can't remember what that is. But however, whatever it is, God had his eye upon Naaman. But he had also had a pattern to do it. And it was through a slave, the captive maid. How wonderful God is. He doesn't bring trained people at the Bible college to go and do these jobs. No, he doesn't. He does it in his own wonderful way. I never went to a Bible college either. I didn't want to. But God is one that he's as good a Bible teacher as I know of anywhere. And you know, there's one other thought too. The Word of God says this, that grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that's the whole answer to our working out, as it were, of this lesson that the Lord gave to his disciples on that occasion. Love one another as I have loved you. Grow in grace. You know, each one of the things that we do is some grace that the Holy Spirit in our hearts has put there. And beloved, there's many things, and I must confess this, there's many things that the Holy Spirit has told me about that I thought to myself, well, that doesn't sound real or right, and I haven't done it. But you know, it was God's peculiar way of speaking to me, and he does with brothers and sisters everywhere. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to make you and I into a band of people which have that heart connection with the Holy Spirit. But the heart connection with God is as good as what they call a hotline to God, as the modern day thought is. A hotline to God is something out of this world. It's supernatural, as you all know, or those of us do know. And it's a wonder, it's a precious privilege to know that we're in contact with God at all times, however difficult it is. And you know, so many young people today, as well as myself, a long time ago, just after I was saved, I found difficulty in praying. I couldn't pray. I wanted to pray, but I couldn't. I was so nervous, and because in the place where I was saved, a place called Upminster, it was filled with people who knew the Word of God and used to speak it in uncertain ways. And I was terrified to open my mouth there. But you know, there came one day when I did. God had his peculiar way of even making that thought real to me. I thought, when I did open my mouth, it'd say half a dozen words, and I just shut up and sat down, promising that I would never open it again because of the mess I made of it. But one dear brother, he was over 90, he was, and he was one of those brothers when he used to look up. I used to listen to him praying sometimes, and he often used to say, "Lord, send the fire. Send the fire, Lord." I didn't know what he meant, mind you, not that time. But I do now. And you know, he said to me afterwards, "Young brother," he said, "I know you haven't been saved long," but he said, "but the sweetest sound tonight was your voice." And it shook me rigid to realize, and I think that he thought that. I thought everybody was saying, "Well, it's time you packed up, that's all." But God didn't. And at that time, he used to stammer a lot. And this was another miracle of God's grace. The more I prayed, the less I stammered. And this day, I just stammer occasionally. But God has healed me of that in a wonderful way, which I praise him for. So that's how God works. If ever there was a willing man that we read of in the Bible, it must have been Gideon of old. You've probably read it a good many times in Judges chapter 6. And he says this when God approached him in the first place. He said, "Well, I'm only a poor man, and the least in my father's household." But the Lord said, "But I shall be with you." That's what matters most. I shall be with you. And you know that on that occasion, when he went out against the Midianites, who were as sand on the seashore, I believe that's what the scripture says, he went out with 300 men. 300 men. Just those few. Not with sword and spear, bows and arrows, but with a trumpet and a pitcher with a lamp of light in it. How God works. God works in his mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. And he never ceases. And beloved, that's what happens to you and I. Day by day, every day, something new happens. And that's why it's happening in Russia. Revival's happening because, and only because, God is keeping his promise. Because of that promise he gave to his beloved son, who gave it to the disciples, that ye love one another as I have loved you. There's a lot more I could say, but praise God. That's simply what I wanted to say, and that's what he wants to do. May we all be willing and able and ready when he calls to answer the call and to be like so many others. As the Apostle Paul said, there's a race to be run, there's a fight to be fought, and we're all in it. But he did say at the end, "I've kept the course." Stuck to the course, and that's what matters most. If we stick to the Lord, he won't let us down. Love never fails, as we said before. And that's what God is, and what he is going to do. It's a promise that he'll keep as long as we live. So may all of our hearts, may be those who will be able to say with Paul, "I have run the race that he has set before me." And to God be the glory. Amen.